Gregory Keene is here, turning the next page of The Dossier on Demetrius.
Not 24 hours had passed since I set up my trap at the sanatorium for Demetrius. And in that time, I'd been forced to admit that Haley Bergner was a murderess without conscience. I'd discovered that even in death, Max Rubenstein had cheated Demetrius and passed the loot on to someone else. I'd had Demetrius and Yachty Blum in my hands. I'd had to watch them walk out of Bookman's sanatorium or see Haley murdered in front of my eyes. And I'd finally been put under arrest by Colonel Fetris. And I didn't care tuppence. I'd gone too far. I don't want to sound intense, but you can bottle up just so much. And if you don't let go... Well, anyway, you don't want to hear about the emotional state of Gregory George Athelstan Keene. The fact was, I hadn't let go, and I was ready for just about anything. We left the sanatorium at 10, I suppose, Petrus and I. And after the slating I'd had from him, just as we were getting into his car... He made what I thought was a rather odd remark.
I want a purely personal word with you, Keene. So on our way to the embankment, I suggest we drop in at your flat. It's about you and the Bergner girl. And I want you to tell me...
So there we were, in my flat that night soon after 10. Fentress with his back to the fireplace while I walked up and down the room, telling myself I should take hold, stop thinking about Haley... Stop seeing the line of her mouth, the curve of her shoulder, the arch of her brow. Stop thinking, stop seeing, stop feeling.
Keene, pull yourself together, man. Won't do. Go on, take a pew, calm down.
You said you wanted a purely personal word.
Yes, sir, I do. You couldn't run to a whiskey and soda, could you?
Hmm?
Huh? Don't let me impose on you.
I thought I was under arrest.
We'll come to that in a moment. Shall I help myself?
Yes, yes.
You know, you have a crown, when you're in regimentals, I mean. And I have a crown and 2 pips extra.
And red tabs.
And red tabs. But the point is, I'm about 20 years older than you, and I feel I can take a liberty.
Look here, I won't discuss Haley Bergner with you personally, sir, rank or no rank.
Here, old man, I only mention it because for a moment I want to forget it. I want you to forget it too, Keene.
Very well, sir.
When chaps come from their regiment to military intelligence, we take a pretty good look at them beforehand. You did well a few years ago. I don't have to go through all that.
When the show was on, there were butcher boys that did the downside better. Where's this leading?
I'll let that remark about the butcher boys pass. The facts of the matter are, Keene, we can't reconcile...
We?
All right. I can't reconcile your handling of this Demetrius affair with what I know of you personally and your past performances. I want to satisfy myself that you haven't known anything about the Bergner girl and withheld it, hoping for the best. In our game, Keene, we don't play for bottle tops. And since I've introduced the personal note, I may as well come out with it. Now, I'd hate like the very devil to see you come a real cropper. I'd hate it as an individual, hate it as a soldier. You'd better take notice when I'm holding out my hand.
I think I know what you mean, sir.
Oh, come on. What about it? I want to know exactly whatever happened between you and Haley Bergner.
Oh, that's impossible.
Do I have to point out that I'm perfectly well aware one doesn't intrude? I'm not a schoolboy inviting you to kiss and tell, Keene. I want to know. I have to know.
But why is it so important at precisely this moment?
Because you worked that stunt with the raff chap Fagan. Because you traded Haley Bergner's life for Demetrius. Because Nicholas Barker's back from Berlin with a photograph of Otto Schmidt. And a new line on Demetrius, Haley Bergner, and Carl Scammell.
Hmm. Well, I don't know how you go about telling these things. A chap can't maunder like a shop girl. Where the deuce am I to begin?
I'd try the beginning. When you first saw her after she landed from that plane from Berlin. And I'm inclined to recommend a good stiff peg of your own whiskey. I'll say that for you, Keene. Nothing wrong with your sideboard.
So I dragged it out in front of Colonel Fentress. I tried not to sound maudlin, but it boiled down to a story of love. The sort of thing that only happens to you once in a lifetime, and to many people never. The sort of love that transcends reason or training or background, that refuses to die, that gets in your blood and your bones and your heart. and your brain and your soul. With me, it had to be Haiti. And while I was talking, hardly aware of Colonel Fentress in the same room, I was asking myself, where is she? Who's with her? What is she doing? What is she thinking? Even if I'd known, it wouldn't have been much comfort. She was in a cabin of a ship with Demetrius.
I must know, how did you get away from Buchanan Sanatorium? Oh, stop that. Are you trying to drive me insane? Stop it, I tell you.
These outbursts of yours are becoming more and more tiresome, Haiti. I wish you would try to remember that I'm a man who loves tranquility.
How did you get away? Tell me.
I've already told you. Pour yourself another brandy.
Keane and the others were waiting for you there. But they not only let you get away, they gave you time to get the trunk from behind the bookcase.
The episode of the sanatorium is over, finished, concluded.
Why did you tell me Gregory Keane was dead?
Because it seemed the quickest way to put an end to the discussion.
I was unconscious there. Did you threaten to kill me in front of Keane?
Your nerves are fraying, but I certainly can't find fault with your imagination.
Well, how else did you persuade him? What other bargain could you possibly have driven?
Haiti, you and I have been together a long time. You know me for a highly specialized type of human being. I have the strength to rise above the petty scruples that plague so much of humanity. As you know, and as you have condoned, I have removed those who stood in my way.
I have never condoned it.
You have accepted what's been done without complaint. That's what made it possible for me to accept you.
I had no choice once I was committed.
Will you listen to me? What we've done together. And you've known why. And you've known that we have done only what was inevitable. But I shouldn't have to tell you that even I am not capable of what you just suggested. Not even I, Haiti.
You are capable of anything.
But not that. Come here to me. If I don't show you as much affection as before, well, when this present coup is accomplished, will be the time to show our feelings. Now come here.
No. I never wanted your caresses less.
No? On Gregory Keane's account?
On my own account.
Haiti, if I've never loved you in the purely maudlin sense, I have always been a great admirer of your beauty. But since there's no possible escape for you, as I've said before, since the rest of your life is completely in my hands, you would be wise to remember that the world is full of beautiful women. And with £1 million to play with, one can be irresistibly attractive to them. So now, if you don't mind, I'll go to my own cabin. Yachty's already has a lead on Mademoiselle Dupont, and I must decide the best way to approach her. I hope you'll be more sensible in the morning. Good night.
If you're going, go!
Yes, I'm afraid the writing's on the wall. I don't think we'll be able to afford the luxury of Haiti's company much longer. She's beginning to see things rather too clearly. We'll have to have a word with Yachty on the subject.
Well, it's certainly more comfortable here in your flat than at the embankment this time of night, King. You think it was a good idea, getting cuts to bring stuff from Berlin round here?
Oh, definitely. A chap should be here by now.
Look here. Before the subject's closed for good, I had no idea, Keane. I had no idea at all. What you've told me, well, it's between you and me.
I didn't think you'd broadcast it, Colonel.
You know, I hadn't realized how deeply you felt about the Bergner girl. I can see now how it must have thrown everything that happened into a different focus.
Could we get off the subject?
Yes, of course. Sorry I was so outspoken at the sanatorium. If you'll accept my apologies. Ah, here's Cuts. Thank the Lord.
So in you come, Cuts.
Good evening, Colonel Fentress. I brought Captain Barker's report and the rest of it, sir.
Good man. Shove it on this table here, will you? As a matter of fact, you can do most of the talking. I want to listen and get it straight in my own head. And by the way, Cuts, Major Keane's not under arrest.
No, sir? taking Haiti Bergner first. Here's what Barker dug up. She definitely knew Carl Alexis Camel, the bloke whose body they found under that Organstrasse rubble.
So, if I hadn't found proof about her 24 hours ago, I'd have it now, eh? How did they get onto her?
Oh, by comparing Scammell's movements around Germany with hers. They matched.
You see, Keane, I stumbled on it in the dust, sir.
And what else?
She knew Scammell and the rigmarole about how they traced down all report here in this report. So, on the strength of that, Captain Barker went after Frau Schmidt, the wife of that Jerry Clark who disappeared. We saw her when we were in Berlin. He collared a picture of this Otto Schmidt, and here it is.
Take a good look at it, Keane. John, take it over under the light.
Hmm? But this is impossible. This is a picture of Demetrius.
It's also a picture of Otto Schmidt.
But we know for a positive fact that Schmidt couldn't possibly be Demetrius.
Nevertheless, Otto Schmidt disappeared from the face of the earth at the very time Demetrius came to London. A picture of one is a picture of the other, and yet they cannot be one and the same person. You work it out, Keane. Who is Demetrius?
Yes, who really was Demetrius? He existed before the war. He disappeared during the war. He reappeared 4 years after its end, and I'd stood face to face with him not 24 hours before Cutts handed me that picture of Otto Schmidt. You'll understand it later on. Hedy had blinded me once. Now she was blinding us all.